we've asked. We're turning to the book of Genesis chapter 24 this evening. And there's just a question found in verse 58. I want to leave this question with you. It was a question put to Rebecca. Rebecca's a young girl. She's about to be married. Abraham's son Isaac. We're going to speak on Isaac. That's very appropriate, isn't it? Isaac is 40 years of age at this particular time. I mentioned at the midweek prayer meetings, young folks, don't worry too much if you're 17. Sometimes when you reach 17, you think when you get 18, you'll never get a boy, you'll never get a girl. Well, there's still plenty of time. Isaac was 40. So Stephen and Helen, if this Isaac stays with you to 40, you'll be all right. 40 years of age when he was looking for a bride. In those days, you weren't given the privilege of choosing a bride for yourself. It depended upon your father. And here's the father sending his servant away up into the country of Haran, into the country where he originally came from. He sends his trusted and tried servant, and he comes to this family of Rebecca. Her mother and her brother put the question to Rebecca. And that question is found in verse 58 of Genesis chapter 24. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. Tonight, that's the question I want to put to you. I've come on an errand tonight. I've come as a servant of my Heavenly Father with an errand to find a bride for Jesus Christ. And the question that was put so long ago to this woman, Rebecca, I want to put it to you in this meeting. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, if you've never been redeemed by the precious blood, will you come tonight and receive Christ as your Savior? Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. I pray that at the end of the meeting, if you're not saved, you will say, I will go. I will be joined with Christ. I will be saved. I will be born again. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're going to keep that word open before us and bow our heads together as we ask for God's blessing and God's help. Lord, I just left that one verse with you for the sake of time, for I know that time is pressing on this evening. But I've mentioned already, Abraham at the beginning of the chapter 24 was an old man himself. He's about to die. He's concerned about his son Isaac, that he would get a bride. He calls his trusted and tried servant to go way up into Mesopotamia, miles and miles away, to find a bride for his son Isaac. Before this servant goes forth, he gets down and prays about it. That's very, very important. Can I thank the folks tonight? That we're at the season of prayer. This is the powerhouse of the church. It's a gauge of what sort of meeting there's going to be. I believe the work is done in the prayer meeting. And I believe as a church, and I believe tonight, that we need to pray. For God answers prayer. And there's some in this meeting tonight and you're not saved. And thank God you've got people that pray for you. You've got people that pray for you. There's some wayward sons and daughters in this meeting. There's some mothers and fathers in this meeting. And you've got children praying for you. That's the greatest thing that can ever happen. God answers prayer, you know. And we've been praying for you tonight. And you know, this man, this servant prayed that when he would go to this country, that the woman who would come out with a pitcher on her shoulder and give him water for his animals, that would be the bride for Isaac. He asked that God would show him a token for good. Do you know you're in this meeting tonight, but I don't believe you're here by accident. I believe that God has brought you here. You're here that you might hear this message from the Lord. I believe that God has ordered your circumstances. You say, I've come here because if I don't come, my parents will have it in for me. Oh, I believe that God has really brought you here tonight. And I believe that God has brought you here that you might hear this message from the Lord. And as this young woman comes, the question is put to her, wilt thou go with this man? That's a very important question. Can I ask you that question this evening? Maybe you've been asked very important questions in the past. I don't know what sort of questions you've been asked. But can I say this? That the most important question you can ever make a decision on is the question about your salvation. I'm not asking you tonight, will you come and be a member of this church? With all due respect to Coleraine Free Presbyterian Church, it'll save nobody. I'm not asking you to come to the communion table. I was brought up in a church where I attended the communion table. I sat in the Bible class. I was asked all the catechism and I answered them. But I was never asked, was I saved? Was Philip Millen saved? I was never asked that. And I sat at the communion table. I'm not asking you to come to the communion table. I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you about the creeds of any particular church. I'm asking you about Christ. Do you know Him tonight? Is He your Savior? That's the most important question in all life. Are you born again? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You might not think very much about Philip Millen. I'm not caring about that. But what do you think about Christ? Is He your Savior? And that's the most important question, because your answer will determine your eternal destiny. It'll determine whether you're in heaven or whether you're in hell. It's an important question. Can I say, wilt thou go with this man? It's an individual question. Every person in this meeting will have to answer for themselves. You in the back seat, you might say, well, there's a boy, fellow up there in the front, and he needs to answer that. Maybe somebody in the middle says there's somebody behind me, and they need to answer that question. I'm asking this question, and I'm putting it to you as an individual tonight. People say to me, you know, I'm not saved because there's a lot of hypocrites go to that church. There may be hypocrites. There were hypocrites in the days of Jesus Christ. You know, people say to me, I know Christians, and you know, they're a bunch of hypocrites. They do things that I would never do. That may be so, but when you stand on the day of judgment, you'll have to answer for yourself. And tonight, you'll have to answer yourself, because it's an individual question. You cannot straddle the fence as far as this matter of salvation is concerned. It's an inescapable question. You will answer one way or the other this evening. You say, preacher, I'm not going to make a decision. You will make a decision. Christ says, if you're not for me, you're against me. As this question comes to Rebecca, I want you to look at with me at Rebecca's consideration. What was she considering when the question was put to her? You might say, well, I need to think about this. I need to think about this. And you see, this servant sets out to convince this young girl, this girl Rebecca, she had never met Isaac in all the world. She had never set eyes on him. She didn't know him from Adam. All she had was the word of the servant. And Rebecca needs to know something about this man Isaac that she's going to be a bride to. Rebecca needs to know that. And you will see that this servant tries to set before this woman something of the greatness of Isaac's father. Look at verse 35, Genesis chapter 24. And here's what the servant says, and just verse 34 to get the context. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. He introduces himself. I'm a servant of the Lord this evening. And he says this in verse 35, "And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and ass." And he sets before the greatness and the grandeur of Isaac's father. You know, I have a difficult task this evening. How can I persuade you to come to Jesus Christ? You know, in and of myself, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I have not the ability. I have not the intelligence. I haven't a grasp of the English language that I ought to have. I can't describe and use the superlatives and the adjectives that would adequately describe the greatness of my God and my Savior. I think of Queen of Sheba. She had heard about the greatness of King Solomon's kingdom. And she went to see for herself. She'd heard all about it. And she decided she would go herself. And when she saw the wisdom of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 10, and the house that he built, and the meat on his table, and the setting of his servants, and his ministers, and the apparel, and the ascent by which they went into the house, she said, "There was no more spirit in me." She couldn't come to terms with it, the greatness of it. And then she said this, "This is a true report. Do you know my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? The silver and the gold is his. Your very breath tonight is held in the palm of his hands. And the God in whose thy breath is, thou hast not glorified." What can I tell you about the greatness of my God? Let me simply say to you that the Savior that I bring to you tonight is altogether lovely. Do you know there was a time in my life when I was not saved? And I used to listen to the late Reverend John Wiley. And I heard him preach. And I could never see any beauty in Christ. I could see never any loveliness in the Savior. He was nothing to me. But then there was a day that the Lord opened my eyes. And I can take you to the very street in Cool Rain tonight, where I bowed my heart. And I bowed my knee, and I never saw anybody as lovely as Christ. He was altogether lovely. How can I convince you? Do you know, come with me to Calvary. Consider Jesus Christ on the cross. Well might the darkness hide and shut his glories in when Christ the great Creator died for man, the creature's sins, and he died for you. He loves you tonight. And he died for you. And he endured the wrath of the cross. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, ere he found the sheep that was lost. His visage was more than any man's, and his form more than the sons of man. You know, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, was unrecognizable. They butchered him. Some years ago, at the height of the Troubles, two undercover army men were caught in a funeral procession in West Belfast. And they couldn't get their car out. And the crowds gathered round them. And they had guns and they had revolvers. But they couldn't get out of the crowd, and the crowd dragged them out of the car. And the police and the army helicopter were watching it all, but they could do nothing. And they dragged those two young army men out. And they dragged them along railing posts. And they gouged out their eyes, and they brutally massacred them. And it was an awful, awful time. But can I tell you, the Son of God's visage was marred more than any man. He was unrecognizable. And you know why he did it? He did it, sinner, because he loves you. Guilty, hell-deserving sinners as we are, Here's what you're considering. You're considering your Redeemer. You're considering the Creator of the heavens and the earth. You're considering the one that could crush you and take your life away in an instant. You're held in the palm of His hands. You know, Paul says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Look at verse 53 of chapter 24. It says, just again the context, it came to pass, verse 52. When Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Well, just to cut it short, you know, silver speaks in Scripture, especially of redemption. It was the ransom money for sinners. Can I say tonight, Christ's the only Redeemer. You may have comforts tonight. Not a person in Ulster, but he doesn't have comforts. You may have wealth laid up for many years. But one day your soul shall be required of thee. And what shall it profit you if you gain the whole world? You know, people on a Saturday night are running to the lottery, thinking that if they get the lottery, it'll solve all their problems. It's the beginning of troubles. You can gain the whole world. And what profit is if you lose your own soul? I was just reading about Elvis Presley, the King of Rock. He was around the 60s of my age. And he was a good singer. He sang lovely Christian hymns as well at times. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. He could sing that. Elvis Presley was a great singer, you know. He earned millions of dollars. He was a very generous man. He loaded his friends and his family with gifts galore. And if he stopped at a car showroom and he saw somebody looking at it, he would say, do you want that car? And he would buy it. He couldn't buy happiness. He couldn't buy happiness. And he had millions and millions of people who applauded and still even to this day rejoice in his singing. He could summons for a hamburger at the flick of his finger and send an aircraft to get it. That's the wealth he had, and that's the popularity he had. But you know, he died in his Tennessee mansions. A very lonely man. Nobody there. Not even his wife. Not even Lisa Maria, his daughter. And he died with an overdose of drugs. He couldn't get happiness. You see, Elvis Presley was brought up in a Baptist fellowship. Elvis Presley, you know, went to meetings such as this. Elvis Presley knew the gospel, and he knew that he ought to be saved, and he tried the world, but he couldn't find happiness in it, and neither can you. You see, when God made you, He made you for Christ. You see, there's that spiritual part in you that will never be satisfied with anything else but Jesus Christ. And you know there's no peace. There's no real happiness until you find Jesus Christ. You're considering the Savior. Let me ask you the question. Will you go with this man? Roland Hill. Many and many years ago, away in England, was a great open-air preacher. It was the days of the Horace and Courage. And he had an open-air meeting. And as he was conducting that open-air meeting, a Royal Courage drew by and stopped. And he knew there was one of nobility that was in the carriage, Lady Anne Erskine. And as he was preaching, he stopped in the midst of the preaching. And he saw her get out. And he says to the congregation, he says, I have the soul of Lady Anne Erskine to offer here to you. And he says, I want people to bid for her soul. And he says, is there any bidders for her soul? And he says to the congregation, hush, I hear a bidder. Who is it? And he said, it's the voice of the devil. What do you offer the soul of Lady Ann Erskine? I offer her everything that this world can give. I offer her pleasure. I offer her parties. I offer prosperity. I offer her everything. I will give her happiness. I will give her joy. I will give her all this wealth. He said, have I any more bitters for the soul of Lady Ann Erskine? Hush! Do I hear another voice? I hear the voice of the Son of God. What do you offer her? I offer her pardon for her sins. I offer her a peace that this world cannot give. I offer her the very paradise of God. I offer her myself on the cross at Calvary. I give her my everything. Lady Ann Erskine, here's the bidders for your soul. Which will have? What is the highest price? Lady Ann Erskine got out of the carriage and she got on her knees. She says, I give my soul to the highest bidder. I give my soul to Christ. You're considering the Son of God this evening. I want you to know what it says in verse 58. Not only do we see Rebecca's consideration, but we see her call, Rebecca's call here. Wilt thou go with this man? You know, she had never set eyes on him before. How could Rebecca be prevailed upon to leave her father's home? She had never saw him before. She had never set eyes on him before. You know, all she had was the word of the servant. How can I convince you tonight to come to Christ? Here's the call. Wilt thou go with this man? What have I got tonight that will convince you to Jesus Christ? Some people say to me, preacher, you know, if something miraculous would happen, some sign from heaven, I would believe. Some tangible proof. If someone would come back from the dead and say there is a heaven, there is a hell. Well, let me tell you, somebody has come back from the dead. Jesus Christ. Does that convince you? You say, but about something else. You know, Luke's Gospel chapter 16 is a wonderful gospel because we have the death of two people there. The death of the rich man and Lazarus. And we read about the rich man in hell. In hell he lifted up his eyes. That's what the scripture says, being in torments. And he cries that someone will be sent to cool his lips. For he's tormented in the flames. That's why we preach tonight. That's why we preach tonight. That's why we come with gusto tonight. That's why we, and somebody did pray that the preacher would get gusto. So the Lord's answered prayer, brother. Because you see, souls are in danger of hellfire. And you know, somebody, that rich man in hell said, if someone would go and warn his five brothers, he had five brothers, and warn them of this place, lest they come to this place of torment, if someone would rise from the dead and go and warn them, they would believe. Do you know what Abraham said? They have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the word of God. And if they don't believe the word of God, you will not believe, even though someone come back of your loved ones from the dead. You know something? You may not believe the word of man today. You can believe the book. You can believe this old book tonight. I thank God. God's own book. The authorized version. I thank God tonight that we have the word of God in our mother tongue. You know, there's places in this world where they don't even have a page of the word of God. But here we are in Ulster. You know what this book tells me? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes you. If you call on the Lord, the Lord will save you. Time is gone. We not only have Rebecca's consideration, Rebecca's call, Rebecca's consent. She says, you know, I will go. Genesis 24. Look what it says in verse 58. She says, I will go.
And I just say this before she said that. In verse 55, there's something interesting here. And her brother and her mother said, this is before they put the question. They said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she shall go. If you've got a good margin in your Bible, you will see that they're really asking her to stay for a year and 10 months. Originally, they said, let her go. But then they took second thoughts and they said, let her abide with us for a year and 10 months, and then she can make a decision. See, as we gather to the end of this meeting, maybe you are convinced that you ought to be saved. Maybe you're thinking seriously about coming to Christ. But then the old devil says to you, wait a wee while. Wait a wee while. Just wait till next Sunday. Just go home tonight and then think about it. And then make a decision next week. We're all horrified, weren't we? This past week when Nicola Murray, going to school on the bus with her twin sister, as they're turning in from the Ballygolly Road, a big lorry comes down and crashes into that bus. Nicola Murray never really knew what happened. Just a young girl, 16 years of age. Can I tell you something? Roman Catholic grief is ever much as bitter as Protestant grief. And my heart goes out to that family this evening. Think of her twin sister, born with her, grew up with her. And now part of her is gone. Let me ask you the question, where would you be if death would come to you? You wouldn't get a year and 10 months if this was your last opportunity. There's danger and there's death in delay. You know, the way to hell is paved with good intentions. People have sat in meetings and said, look, I'll come someday. And you know, the Spirit of God that is striving with you tonight may no longer strive with you. You may come to meetings. Yes, you may come to gospel meetings. You could sit through them. Never be touched, never be disturbed. But tonight there's a stirring. I will go with this man. That's what she said. What will you say tonight? Will you say, preacher, I'm coming to Christ. I'll be saved. How do I be saved? I'll tell you how you'll be saved. You simply repent of your sins. You know what that is? That's a change of mind and change of heart. Turn away from your sin. And by faith, just simply trust. Trust in Christ and His great work on the cross for you. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, thy beauty are my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds and these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. Simply by faith, ask Him into your heart, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you tonight. Call, ask Him to save you. Let's bow together as we close.